As we've been discussing, our economy has shrunk 0.9% in the June quarter, far worse outcome than any economists had been forecasting. Everyone's having a reckon, from the finance minister to economists to former finance ministers and prime ministers, specifically Sir Roger Douglas and Sir John Key. And a lot of blame has been laid at the feet of the Reserve Bank. The New Zealand Initiative's chief economist, Dr. Eric Crampton, joins me now. Very good morning to you.
And good morning to you.
Did you think it would be this bad?
Well, I am not one of the ones that reads entrails in the latest GDP figures. That's more of a bank economist job.
Yeah.
But the results were well out of line with all of their forecasts. So I tend to rely on those who make those forecasts in the absence of iPredict. I really miss iPredict, where we could bet on these things. But it's well out of line with what the bank economists who watch this for a living were expecting. I think they were looking at reductions about 0.3 or 0.4 of a percent, and instead we got 0.9.
Which I think just sums up a lot of the pain that a lot of people were feeling and were telling me they were feeling. It just confirms it. But Nicola Willis says that was then, and we've got to look at the now. Is she right?
Well, the current figures are likely a combination of things. So she's not wrong that there will have been some effect from international messes. I don't think it's a big contributor because most of the drivers seem to be domestic. So reductions in manufacturing and construction in ways that go beyond what you'd expect out of export changes. And international turmoil does not look like it's going to be changing much. So that seems like it's going to be a constant. We shouldn't expect that to change. What I think we're mainly feeling here, and I wouldn't blame the RBNZ so much as say this is an effect of getting inflation back in line. So remember that the Reserve Bank's one big job is keeping inflation between 1 and 3%.
Yeah.
It forgot what its job was largely in 2020 and 2021. It went incredibly overboard. Getting things back on track from that is really hard. They didn't just have to convince everybody. They didn't just have to get inflation back down. They had to get everyone convinced again that they actually cared about their main job in inflation. Inflation expectations during the height of COVID, they were running north of 5% as the 2 year ahead expectation of what inflation was going to be looking like. Sorry, on the 1 year, it was it hit above 5, and it was past 3.5 on the 2 year out expectations. So it had lost credibility. When the bank loses credibility, it is much more expensive for everyone to get inflation back down. But if you don't do it, the long-term costs are even higher. So I wouldn't blame the RBNZ's current round of tightening. I would blame more its prior round of exuberance that required the tightening. And so Willis would be right in pointing to interest rate effects there. But the other part that's frustrating is the government keeps framing everything as though they've been helping the Reserve Bank to be able to bring in interest rates down. Every OCR announcement has come with a statement from the Prime Minister or the Minister of Finance saying that our new path of fiscal responsibility has helped the Reserve Bank cut interest rates. That's simply not true. The government's budgets have remained incredibly stimulatory. We're having massive structural deficits. If they had even gotten spending back down to where it was in 2019 as a fraction of economic activity, that like the great big Robertson budget, the well-being budget that was going to solve everything in the country, if they brought spending back down to that level, the RBNZ would have had far more room to cut interest rates even further.
But they would argue and have argued that they can't stop spending because that would cause even more pain.
Well, ultimately on all of this, the Reserve Bank moves last. So what do I mean by that? Macroeconomists will say central banks move last. And that means that the Reserve Bank, its job is inflation. Inflation depends a bit on whether there are a lot of unemployed people around, whether there's just massive labor market shortages, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Whatever Parliament is doing on the fiscal side, whatever it's doing on spending, the Reserve Bank is supposed to take a look at that, incorporate it into its forecasts, and target the medium-term forecast to keep inflation in line. So if the central government had reduced fiscal spending considerably, the Reserve Bank would have had more room to reduce interest rates by even more for taking up the slack. So if you look at construction, for example, dramatically lower interest rates would have enabled more construction projects to get over the line.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, there's another minor bit in there. It's a little bit frustrating, but and it's minor, but it's it annoys me in particular. We're seeing construction slack.
Yeah.
Some construction slack you can understand as a response to uncertainty around zoning.
Yeah.
So Auckland and Christchurch have punted out their finalizing their plans. Now, suppose that you've got a block of land and you're not sure whether you're going to be allowed to build the 6 stories or 20 stories on it. Would you start progressing all of your plans now to start building, or would you wait to find out what you're going to be allowed to do?
Right.
There's going to be some natural hesitance because of these delays.
Yeah. God, what a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It is a mess, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So when they say things are going to get better, and when Nicola Willis said that she wants to see a more hands-off approach from government to the recovery, that she wants to see businesses doing it on their own, is she right?
I would love to see the government leaving more space for business and everybody else to be getting on with things by leaving that room in the budget. So pulling back, getting spending back on track. We are still running massive deficits. If you look carefully at the ratings agency's reports, they are giving warnings in there. Like, they maintain New Zealand's rating, but if you read between the lines on it, they gave the warning that, well, your rating is in part because New Zealand has, in prior instances of big structural deficits, had the political courage to do what was needed to fix things. And they were kind of trusting that that was going to happen. If it doesn't happen, we get the ratings down, grade and interest rates go up.
Yeah, and it's going to be our great-grandchildren, not just our grandchildren, who end up paying for it. Can we mount a recovery, a grassroots ground-up recovery, while we've got the issue with the gas fields running out and manufacturing businesses, big plants, not having certainty of supply? Because that was the big scare for me this week.
Yeah, that's another complicating, horrible mess.
maybe we just do one mess at a time.
If you're old enough, you remember the oil price shocks, right? And how those would just hammer economic activity.
Yeah.
Energy prices are critical. Now, there has been a bit of delinking. That economic activity hasn't been as energy intensive as it used to be. But energy prices still matter, creating shortages through policy decisions that make it risky to sink pipes to drill for natural gas isn't a great idea. Particularly, climate change matters. Every ton of gas that you burn requires surrendering ETS credits. We've already got that accounted for. Oil and gas exploration bans wind up creating a mess that is hard to undo, because if you're going to be spending huge amounts of money exploring and sinking wells, you have to trust that the next government isn't going to just ban further exploration. Yeah. So they'd be unlikely to expropriate wells that have already been drilled. But if your plan requires an ongoing path of drilling, then it can be a bit frustrating. And I can see sort of second best reasons around that for what the government's been trying to do in encouraging drilling again. But what I do hope we are able to get a little more quickly, like gas would take a little while to come back in. There has been a lot of solar exploration, and that's good, and solar fields going up, but we are still getting in spots where it's just hard to turn a paddock into solar panels. Our lakes are great batteries for backup for solar panels for when the sun isn't shining. It means that more water can hold in the lakes when the sun is shining, and then it flows through when the sun isn't shining. They're very good natural complements to each other, and a lot of the prior worries around solar not being able to maintain grid stability, that's largely solved now. We need to make it not so hard to put up darn solar fields. Some of that's kind of crazy. It's great to see the government's sort of long-term vision in pushing for supercritical geothermal, but that's still going to be a few years away at best.
I thank you very much, as always, for your expertise, Dr. Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative, News Talk ZB.